You're listening to WAER.org. I'm Kijin Higashibaba. The sound of classic jazz will be coming to the Utica area this weekend as the Hot Sardines perform at the Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute. WAER's Chris Bolt sat down with the founder of the group in advance of their concert this Saturday.
Running wild, lost control, running wild, mighty bold, feeling gay, reckless too, carefree mind all the time, never blue, always going, don't know where, always showing I don't care, don't love nobody, it's not worthwhile, all alone.
My name is Elizabeth Bougerol, and I am the front woman and co-founder of the Hot Sardines.
Where did the name Hot Sardines come from?
When Evan Palazzo, who I founded the band with, and I met at a jazz jam that was advertised on Craigslist. He wasn't a professional musician. He taught himself piano. I wasn't a professional musician. I sang mostly in the shower, had taught myself to sing, but neither of us had ever really done anything with music. We met each other, realized we were kindred musical spirits, and started playing music together. And when we got enough material kind of that we liked, we wanted to go to an open mic. And the day of the open mic, we said, I guess we need a name. The music we were playing was sort of from the era where hot jazz first started. So it was the 10s and 20s. And, you know, there was no pressure. It was an open mic deep in Queens. And we came up with Hot Sardines when I saw a tin of sardines and hot sauce at my local supermarket. And I said, what do you think? And he said, that's fine. And the next thing we knew, we were playing more and more gigs, and it was kind of too late to change it. We thought it kind of sounded like, you know, those when you hear the lingo of the 20s, like, hey, chickadee. We were like, hey, sardine. I don't know. We thought it sounded kind of from another era or what have you. But it definitely, it's Googleable.
Yeah, so, sure. No, absolutely.
So we stuck with it.
Yeah. So style-wise, I mean, again, having seen you both in live and then sort of online, et cetera, certainly mm-hmm. some of the stuff you could say is kind of retro, as you said, hot jazz era. There's hot horns in tune. Some are a little more ballad-like. What were you going with, or what would you say you're going for?
Trying to pin down our genre is a question that plagues us a bit, because we are just inspired, really, by what was essentially pop music from the first half of the 20th century, which includes sort of gut bucket blues from the very, very early part of that century, like Bessie Smith, and goes right up until, you know, Nat King Cole in the early 50s. So there's a lot in there, actually. There's straight-ahead blues, there's hot syncopated jazz like early Louis Armstrong in the Hot Fives, the Sevens. There's definitely ballady stuff when jazz started to influence Hollywood and vice versa. So then you get into more the Ella Fitzgerald songbook period, very orchestrated, sweeping arranged charts and so on. And we kind of love all of those things. So in a way, we're not really purists. And we just kind of, we go with the song first. And if there's a song we love and we want to tackle, we think, how do we hear it? What do we want to bring to it? How can we do something with this song, with our 8-piece band that really puts across the story of the song and makes us feel it anew, you know, because these songs have been covered so many times, most of them, that's really the challenge, is how do you bring something fresh to it? And that's always the challenge.
I love Paris. Why do I love Paris? Because my love is near.
And I imagine since it's fun and since it does go into different sort of emotions and feelings, it's probably fun for the audience, and I'm sure that's what you're going for.
I think it is. I'm always thrilled when we're playing a gig and I see multiple generations at the same gig. It really depends where we're playing. The demographic breakdown really depends where we're playing, but so often we get, you know, we get a teenager, their mom, and their grandma at a gig, and what's cool about that is everyone in that group has a different experience of this music. Maybe the teenager has heard stuff in a movie soundtrack. Maybe the grandparent was just, you know, was playing some of this music at their weddings, you know, when it was on the radio. So everyone, I think, has been exposed to that, the popular culture from that first half of the 20th century. But very rarely do you get to hear it live.
The new album, French Fries and Champagne, which is also kind of the tour title, is there some story behind that song or that name?
The story behind the name French Fries and Champagne is the song that we wrote, that Evan and I wrote. It's called French Fries and Champagne, and it's both the end of a love story. And at the same time, the larger theme is that when life is uncertain, as I think it really is these days, you know, have a party. There's something reassuring and a little spiritual about everyone coming together to celebrate being together when you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. And so that was really the theme of the song, and we made it the title of the album.
Everything is dandy. Pinkies raised, we'll toast the days coming to an end, my friend. It's time for French fries and champagne.
Does this album represent kind of a musical journey? I saw that you had come together in 2007, so that's 10, 11 years ago. Is this an evolution of the band? I mean, right now I hear horns that are very tight. There's, you know, pretty good style put together. Is that how it's always been, or has your sound evolved a little into this album?
The eight-piece band didn't really come together and start to find an eight-piece sound until about 2011. Now, that said, we definitely have evolved with that eight-piece since then. And for this album, we actually added a string section, too, which was unusual for us. But we wanted to play with what we thought of as the French fries is just kind of us doing our down and dirty jazz, and then the champagne in our mind was when the strings get added and you kind of get that high tone, you know, 1940s, 50s movie soundtrack feel to things. And that was really a fun challenge to write and to conceive of arrangements that would incorporate that element. It was a really, really fun challenge. And being in the studio with those strings, oh, my heart was just swelling.
This show really that's coming up at the Munson Williams Proctor Art Institute, what will you emphasize?
Just taking the audience on a journey from the very, very early part of the last century clear on through to the 50s. So you'll hear lots of styles, gritty blues, very arranged horns. You'll hear a little bit of French, sort of Paris music hall chanson thrown in. And overall, we just want to make people have a good time, connect with us and each other, and take them back in time a little bit and experience something you don't get to hear live too often anymore.
I know you're from New York. Do you have any connections to upstate New York? Does it mean anything to play the Lewistons or the Uticas in specific for you or other members of the band?
Well, I actually went to school at Brock University right across the border from Lewiston up there. I was up there studying media. So I've kicked around that area a little bit, and our current bass player is from Poughkeepsie. So there's a little reach up there to the area. Evan, who I started the band with, lives a little further from there but is out of New York. He's in the Berkshires. So it's a lovely part of the country.
All right, well, great. Well, I really appreciate you speaking with us, and I hope you enjoy the event next week as much as I'm sure the audience will at Munson Williams Proctor.
We're really looking forward to coming and playing in Utica. Thanks so much for having us.
All right, take care.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Ha!
The concert takes place at the MWPAI Sculpture Court Saturday, October 7th at 7:30 p.m. This is WAER.org. Thanks for listening.